These guys were acting as if it didn't matter. Verse 13, "O Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, even as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel," their confidence. Remember Bethel, that's where they put the golden calves. That's where they worshipped. And it's an abandoned, desolate heap now. All right, and so he's saying they're going to be ashamed of Chemosh, which was their god, their city, and their city of, with the name of their primary deity that they worship, just like Bethel. Israel was ashamed of Bethel. Verse 14, "How say ye, we are mighty and strong men of war." Strong men for the war. He's talking about their heroes. Remember I kind of gave you that at the outset, that their heroes are the ones who come under scrutiny in verses 9 through 15. He says in verse 15, "Moab is spoiled and gone up out of her cities, and his chosen men, young men, are gone down to the slaughter," says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. There it is, says the Lord. See, there's that next stanza. He says, he's the king, and he still is the king. And I think it's important for us to remember, he's still the king. No matter what Obama does, doesn't matter what people in Germany. I read also, did you read about this, that the French and the Germans have actually said that President Obama was too socialistic for them. I'm like, okay, here we go. We're being schooled. All right, well, I digress. Verse 16, "The calamity of Moab is near to come, and his affliction," this is that third stanza, "hasteth fast. And you shall, ye that are all about him, bemoan him, and all ye that know his name, say, how is the strong staff broken in the beautiful rye?" They were a beautiful city. They never had anybody destroy their buildings, and they never had to rebuild. They always just kept getting bigger, bigger, bigger. Have you ever looked at a city and marveled? It's amazing. But you know what? The skyline of New York City is different today because two planes flew into one or two buildings. Two planes flew into these buildings, knocked them down. God can turn this plate upside down and wipe it clean. He can do it in a moment. We find that we think, because the cities grow and get more opulent, that we think we got it. But God is bigger than all of our little goofy little things that we do and we take great pride in. It is a hard thing, guys, for us to, for people who are lost and have never had God in their lives, to get past what's hitting their faces. A plane that is bigger than this building that flies through the air. It's made of metal. What hath man wrought? Because man hath wrought some things in the last 100 years, man thinks he's better than ever. But you know what? He's more depraved because of the things he has wrought. Because now he fears not God. He has built a building that goes up 120 stories high. And it stands there. And he thinks, oh, I've done this. You didn't do it. Somebody else did it. You see it, but you couldn't do it. And you and I asked them, I told you the story where I asked a couple electricians on a job once. If you were stranded on a deserted island, there you were. Could you make electricity? No, I couldn't make electricity. Very few people could kind of conjure the wisdom and knowledge and insight to make some of the stuff we enjoy here today. And because of it, the darkness comes down deep. And that's why it's very important for us to pray the power of the Holy Spirit on people's hearts. That they will wake up and come up awake from their lethargy. These guys got their mind around the fact that they had been just beautiful. They were a beautiful rod in verse 17. He says, but everybody's going to bemoan him and all ye that know his name. Verse 18, thou daughter that dost inhabit Dibon, come down from thy glory and sit in thirst. For the spoiler of Moab shall come upon thee. He shall destroy thy strongholds. O inhabitants of Aroer, stand by the way and espy, and ask him that fleeth and her that escapeth, and say, what is done? All the cities around about that were not part of Moab are being told, ask them what's going on. They're running for their lives. Here's their answer. Moab is confounded, for it is broken down. Howl and cry, tell ye it in Arnon, and that Moab is spoiled, and that judgment is come upon the plain country, upon all the cities he mentions next. What he's saying is he's saying that their glory, their beauty and all that, wiped out. Their power, their beauty. The beautiful rod is broken. And the Bible says that it's broken. At the end of verse 25, it says, the horn of Moab is cut off and his arm is broken, saith the Lord. Thus endeth the third stanza. Verse 26, make ye him drunken. And under, encircle the word, for. Here's the third sin that they had that was very pronounced. For he magnified himself against the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He magnified himself against the Lord. This is what we do every day. We do not honor God in this country. When somebody acts as if God doesn't exist, he goes to work, he comes home, he goes to work, he comes home, has no room for church, no room for God, no room for the Bible. He magnifies himself against God. He says, I am God. I've got this. And he becomes a law unto himself. The Bible says, Moab also shall wallow in his vomit, and he shall be in derision. For was not Israel a derision unto thee? This is a definitive verse right here. You might underline this whole verse, because right here is where you're saying, you live next to Israel and you mock them through the centuries. Were they not a derision unto you? This is your primary sin. He says, was he not found among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, you skipped for joy. Every time they fell, you danced in the streets. Israel's done. I've got a video clip of Fox News doing an expose on this Ahmadinejad fella up there telling everybody, you know, death to Israel, and the people in mass, so many people you can't find the end of the crowd. Death to Israel, they'd say back. They live right next door practically. They could be there in a matter of minutes from the air. They could be in there. And if they got a nuclear weapon, death to Israel. Do you think God's not going to look upon that poorly? People hating his people just because they're his people. He says, for was not Israel a derision unto thee? And you skipped for joy when they were found among thieves. When it says found among thieves, that means they were being kidnapped. Whenever they were conquered and being carried through the cities, here they were coming along with chains, pulling along the Israelites who had chains on their arms, maybe fingernails pulled out, and maybe bruises and bloody, you know, wrappings over their heads where they'd been beaten in battle. He says, you laughed. You skipped. Good riddance. Glad to see you gone. A lot of people would like to see Christians gone. You know, they'd like to see Christians gone more if Christians would be Christian, wouldn't they? True story, right? If we'd just be God's people. But they don't hate us too much now because we're just kind of harmlessly passing our time in the grassland away. Which is a line from a song by Pink Floyd written years ago. We're just harmlessly passing our time in the grassland away. He says in verse 28, O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rocks, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. And of course, that again is where he's talking about where they, in fact, are becoming, they're gloating, or they're magnified. They've magnified themselves against the Lord. Now, he's saying, I'm casting you out. Verses 29 and following is telling as well, because 29 is where it talks about their issue, and it's pride. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness, his arrogancy, and his pride, and the haughtiness of his heart. For I know his wrath. Pride leads to wrath. I know his wrath, but it shall not be so anymore. His lies shall not so affect it. Therefore will I howl for Moab. That's God saying, I'm going to whistle for the wicked ones to come down from Babylon. And I will cry out for all Moab. Mine heart shall mourn for the men of Kirhites. And what he's saying, it does me no good. Gives me no pleasure to have to wipe them out. But he says, I will deal with them, and I will deal with them decisively. And he says that they will be, in fact, wiped out. He will. Oh, verse 32, O vine of Sibma, I will weep for thee. I want to look down to verse 36. Therefore, mine heart shall sound for Moab like pipes. Mine heart shall sound like pipes. All of these words is God saying, I'm going to call for judgment. Why? Because of their pride, because they trusted in their treasures, because they trusted in their works, because they were at ease, because they magnified themselves against the Lord. Verse 39, verse 38, he says, there shall be lamentation generally upon all the housetops of Moab in the streets thereof, for I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure, saith the Lord. See, God is going to wipe them out. And that's what he did in the rearview mirror. We look back. If you go 20 miles east of the Jordan River over there, you can find the ash heap of where this city, the hub of this nation was. It is now just a heap of ruins. And the Bible says that God is the one who brought it to that sad state. Verse 39, they shall howl, saying, how is it broken down? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab be a derision and a dismaying to all them about him. For thus says the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle and shall spread his wings over Moab. Kirath is taken, and the strongholds are surprised. The mighty men's hearts in Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs, in childbirth, frightened and scared, worried, nothing they can do. They can't fight. Verse 42, and Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because, and here's another repeat of one he said earlier, he hath magnified himself against the Lord. How do people magnify themselves against the Lord? By denying what they know to be true. When people deny the Bible, when they deny God, when they deny Jesus, when they act as if it doesn't matter and that their behavior doesn't matter and God is not going to bring them to account, they are magnifying themselves as if they are smarter and better, and they'll tell God how it's going to be. These guys watched God move right next door, constantly doing things. If my neighbors see a backyard club going on in our backyard and kids getting excited about coming up in their bicycles, I got a cool picture of about 8 bicycles right down by my mailbox at the foot of my mailbox because these kids riding up the street saying, we're going to backyard club. It's just the coolest thing. And some of these people have no use for God at all, and their kids or their little grandkids that they were watching through the summer were over at our house hearing about Jesus. And they had a responsibility when they went home to help tell them, yeah, that's true. Everything they said is true. But you know what? I don't think many of them did. I've had a kid a couple weeks ago. I said, you want to go to Awana? He says, yeah, let me go ask. He comes back, can't go. Kid came to our backyard club, but his parents will not let him come to church. They magnify themselves against God. And there will be a day when reckoning and the crosshairs will come to their door. If it's not in this life, it will be in eternity, and God will judge them without mercy. And that is a scary thing, and it's why we need to be much about praying for people we care about and love. Because they're not going to get a pass. And one day, all of the gloves are coming off. And we need to care for them by loving them. That's why we bleed for them. That's why sometimes when they treat us badly, what do? Bless those who curse us. Do good to those who spitefully use us. Why? Because we got our case covered. We're going to heaven. They're not. And if we react in an unkind, inappropriate fashion, we just push their boat a little way away from shore. I think it's powerful to look at verse 47. Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. Underline the words, thus far. Because what he's saying is they're going to come back, and they're going to be in the millennium, and they're going to be a nation, and they're going to be a people, but for 1,000 years they'll be there. He's not telling us what they're going to choose when the time comes when the devil's released from his bondage for 1,000 years. Because a whole host of people are going to come against Israel one more time while King Jesus is on site at the end of the millennium, and then they will be wiped out once and for all decisively. Sin will be eradicated. The devil will be eradicated. We will go into eternity future, eternal bliss, because we showed ourselves to be with King Jesus. This is just a vapor. Did you ever think of that? Have you ruminated on what is your life? It's even a vapor. Appears for a little time, vanishes away. Yeah, that's your physical life, but your spiritual reality, your soul will last forever. So, thus far is the judgment of Moab. So hopefully that will be something you can revisit sometime and enjoy. If you keep those 7 stanzas in mind, it'll help you digest it a little bit too. A number of sins as well.